Tonight, with God's grace, I'd like to talk about an attribute that I think we all need, that I know I need so much. And I will be reading three verses from the Bible, and maybe you'll catch the word that I'm talking about and that I'd like to talk about tonight. If you know, open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, then chapter 4, verse 8, and we'll jump back to chapter 6, verse 11. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. But as for you, O men of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness. Amen. The word that was repeating in all these three verses was which word? Godliness. Great job. Tonight, with God's grace, I'd like to talk about godliness. Godliness. I think this is an attribute that will for sure differentiate us Christians from the world. If there is a difference between a Christian and the people living in this world, then it's this attribute of godliness. And as with all attributes that come from God, also godliness has a counterfeit. And Paul talks of it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he lists all these things. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, and so on. And then in verse 5, Paul says, for people will be having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. New Living Translation reads, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. So what we can say tonight for sure is that we know what godliness is not. Godliness is not just a formality. Godliness is not just an appearance, just a shadow. Godliness has power attached to it. In the Bible, we read about a special man of God. In Genesis chapter 5, we read about a man named Enoch. And we know that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And then God took him from this earth. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, we read about him that for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. In Job chapter 1, there is a discussion in heaven that is happening between God and Satan. And God says to Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Two godly people. Two people who were living a godly life, who were pursuing godliness, if you want. And so what both of these people have and what other people in the Bible had, like people like Daniel, like Joseph, was that they were consistently concerned about reflecting God's character. And this is also the answer to what the definition of godliness really is. Constantly reflecting God's character. a lifestyle that constantly reflects God's character. Let's look at some characteristics of a godly living person, a person who pursues godliness. A person who pursues godliness is a person who seeks God's presence, who enjoys to be in God's presence, who loves to be in God's presence, who wants to be in God's presence. In John chapter 20, verse 13, we see a woman. Her name was Mary. And Mary was sad. Mary was crying. Why was she crying? Why was she sad? Because her master was gone. Her master, her teacher, was not with her anymore. And the word of God says, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angel asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied. "And I don't know where they have put him." Mary was talking to an angel, but she wasn't happy. Because when you see God's presence, you're not happy with the appearance of an angel. Because nobody and nothing can replace God. Nobody and nothing can replace God's presence. So my question for you tonight is, how much do you seek God's presence? How much do you seek to be in the presence of the Most High God? His presence will affect you. Too many people, someone said, are not experiencing more of God because they don't live in His presence. They visit His presence. Too many people do not experience God because they don't live in His presence. They just visit His presence. And as someone who's visiting from another country, from another part of this world, cannot tell you all the things you know about California, about this area. So a person who only visits God's presence cannot experience the Lord in the same way as a person who lives constantly seeking His presence. A second characteristic is that a person who wants to live a godly life is consistently evaluating things from God's perspective. That is a person who constantly asks himself, what does God say about the situation? How does God feel about my situation right now? What does His word has to say about what I want to do, what my plans are? How does the Lord think about me, about my spiritual state? A person who's constantly concerned with what the Lord has to say, what the Lord thinks, how the Lord feels. A person like that is found in the Bible, and his name was Moses. Moses, a man who desired God's presence, being in His presence and wanting to know what the Lord has to say about a certain topic. Every time something came up, he didn't just say, you know, I got an answer for this. He always said, I want to go and talk to the Lord. And he kept going and talking to the Lord. How often do you talk to God? How often do you ask God when you make your plans? When you made your plans for 2024, did you consult with the Lord? Or did you just make your plan, the plans by your own? Then a person, another characteristic of a person who wants to live a godly life, a person who pursues godliness, is that person identifies with God's cause. And when I was thinking about this, Nehemiah came to my mind. The word of God says in Nehemiah chapter 1, Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well. For those who returned to the province of Judah, they are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. A person who lives a godly life is a person who cares about what God thinks and what God's desires are. And God's desires are His desires. God's passion is His passion. God's hurt is His hurt. What God has an issue with, He has an issue with. Nehemiah was worried about his people. He felt God's heart for his people. He was not feeling well when he heard all these news. My question for you tonight is, how do you feel about God's cause for your life, for your family, for your church? How much does it hurt you that there is young men, that there is young families that are not in this place anymore? How much does it hurt you that there is people who do not know the Lord? How much does it hurt you? How happy are you when you hear a person say, praise God, He healed me. Praise the Lord, He worked in my life in a miraculous way. Who knows what happened there? There's for sure another explanation. Or are you a person who says, praise the Lord, it was His hand doing this miracle? What kind of person are you in this matter? How do you feel? Do you feel with the Lord? Are His desires your desires? Another person was Paul, constantly thinking of what God wants to do. He dedicated his entire life to the Lord. He prayed for people that he didn't even meet. He suffered for God's cause. He was beaten and mocked. He was in prison for God's cause. But he loved God's people so much. How much do you love God's people? You know, speaking of the church, from a leader's perspective, the issue is not what does X, Y, and Z want, and how can I make everybody happy? The question is rather, what does X, Y, and Z say? Do they have an insight about God's plan in this place that I'm missing out? Does that person tell me something that I'm missing? So I go back to prayer and say, Lord, is there something I'm missing that you want to do? That's from the leader's perspective. From the member's perspective, it's not, I'm here. Let's see how you guys can serve me. Let's see what you guys can do for me. It's rather, I am here. What is God's plan for this place? How does God want to use these souls, these people, these callings of what these people have, their vocation, their talents, and where do I fit into this big picture? Where do I fit into God's plan for this place? How can I contribute? How can I serve the Lord? How can I make His plans prosper, His work prosper in this place? That is a person who seeks to have the same desire as the Lord. Constantly thinking of what does God want to do? What is His plan? What does He want? Then, as with everything amazing and good that comes from God, also godliness has an enemy. And the Bible speaks of it through Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, where Paul says, "But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness." Not godliness, ungodliness. The enemy of godliness is worldliness. If someone's ungodly, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a criminal. It just means that he leaves God out of the equation, because that's what it means to be worldly. Just doing things without God. Whatever you do in this life, if you don't think of God in what you do, if you don't care of God and you don't care about what God has to say, when you do whatever you do in this life, the chances are very high that you're doing something worldly and you're not seeking godliness. You do not belong to this world anymore. You do not have to live by the values and by the standard of this world. This world does not need to dictate you how to live your life. You have been called to a higher calling. The Lord of the universe has called you to live a holy and righteous life, a godly life, following Him, following His righteousness, following His word. You have been called to something so much better. Do not keep going back to the ways of the world, to the thought process and the mindset of the world. God has called you to something so much greater. God is calling you to a godly life, to live a godly life. The reason why people often are defeated is because they're thinking in a way they're not supposed to think. They're living in a place where they don't belong anymore. If you keep living in the world, you cannot be victorious with the Lord. If you want to have success with God in your spiritual life, you have to live next to the Lord. You need to be with the Lord. You need to be seeking God and seeking a godly life. Thirdly, God has provided and prepared everything so you can live this godly life. You might think, well, this all sounds good, but it might be pretty difficult. How can I do this when God is often so silent? How can I live a godly life when God sometimes does not respond? Well, let me tell you what the Word of God has to say. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. What? God has given us everything. Everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And this is where the power of the Holy Spirit works. And I truly believe in it. I truly believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, who can speak to you every single day. If there is a voice that you hear that's constantly correcting you, that's constantly desiring to change your life, to make you a better person, then it's the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be better. He wants you to serve God more. He wants you to grow in your spiritual life. He doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want you to be destroyed by the devil. He wants you to grow in the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. My question that I want to ask and I want to leave you with tonight is, have you lost your appetite? Have you lost your appetite for living a godly life? Have you been caught up into the system and mindset of this world that you lost your appetite for the Lord? Because if you have, you're sick. And you need to get well. So what I'm asking you tonight is to come to Jesus and find that appetite from Him to follow Him. The desire that comes from God, from the Holy Spirit, to live a godly life. That's what the Lord is calling us tonight. May God bless you all. Amen.